You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yes, indeed, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, we're going to now one of my favorite things. We do it every single week on Thursdays at 4 o'clock. We have what we call the Grand Council, where we convene three of us, myself along with my brethren in talk radio, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast, and our own Dale Jackson, the morning show host, program director guy here at WVNN. So let me call the roll. Do I have a Jeff Poor here?
Present.
You are indeed present. And Dale Jackson.
Alabama's most trusted journalist checking in.
And there he is. I pronounce a quorum copper. Hit the sound of it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right. You know the rules, fellas. We ask each other questions. We take turns. We go around. We see whether we agree or don't agree. We always love each other when it's over. So I'm going to start this time with Jeffro. What you got, man?
So in the second congressional district of Alabama, incumbent Barry Moore looked to be not to have opposition. He looked to be unopposed, and then this court decision come out 2 weeks ago, and they said, hey, we're going to extend the qualifying deadline to February the 11th, which is tomorrow. Well, since then, the Supreme Court has issued a stay, and they said, no, you're not going to do this lower court thing this close to the election, or the primary election, I should say. However, Jeff Coleman, who ran in that race in 2020, has said, I want to qualify, and even though the deadline has passed, which was January 28th, y'all said February 11th. Should Jeff Coleman be allowed to qualify for the Republican primary?
Oh, I got opinions, but I'll let Dale go first.
I mean, I would think if they stayed it, then the answer is no, right? That's what I would think, but, I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, you're not a lawyer, but you're a smart guy. So here's the bottom line. No, he should not. Lawyer Phil says that, and so does just regular Joe Phil says that. So, that's ridiculous. And first of all, if you want to run for Congress and you couldn't decide on the first time and it took waffling until the last hour of the second time and you just finally figured out you wanted to run, maybe you don't need to run. So, that's Jeff Coleman. Somebody got to him. They said, Barry Moore's too conservative. You got to do something, man. We'll give you $1 million. And that's got to be what happened. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, he's got his probably did not spend much time down there, either one of you, but in 2020, all his moving trucks, he had signs up.
Yeah.
All his moving trucks had his family and his face all over. Well, guess what? They're back. New design, new logo. He was planning to do something. It is curious. It's interesting. But here's the deal, though, guys. No matter where you are on this, is it really worth the lift? You got beat by 20 points in the runoff in 2020, what's changed that's going to make you think that you could do better? And look at all the time and capital you're going to have to spend fighting this in court.
I don't think the only thing that's changed is he watched Jerry Carl make Club for Growth the enemy, and he wished he had, because that's how Barry Moore had external support. But then he also sees Katie Britt fighting back against the Club for Growth ads, and he believes he can capitalize on that and try to walk with Katie Britt as an establishment candidate into office. And so I think that's what he's banking on. But he missed the qualifying date. It's just too bad for his luck, and I think he's going to have a legal challenge to be able to preserve this candidacy. Next question, Dale Jackson. I'll let you go next, man.
Tim James is running an ad. I saw it on TV. I haven't heard it on the radio yet, but I think we will. He's running an ad on television. It looks like a dystopian future where children are masked and a teacher's wearing gloves and a mask. It's just, it's really sad. But damn, it's good, in my opinion. and he calls out Kay Ivey for not doing an executive order and doing away with masks in schools. We're seeing mask wearers fall over the place from Washington to Connecticut. And Alabama still is allowing its schools to do this. Birmingham City Schools holding their school hostage. They have mask mandates, but apparently they want a maskier mandate. I don't know. And is Kay Ivey going to be pressured into doing something here, or is she just going to take the pounding?
Jeff, you first.
No, I think she's just going to ignore it. It's a decent ad. Is it going to stick, or is it just something for guys like us to say, oh. And at least I will say this about the effort. It is a step in the right direction, I think. They're not talking about Washington, D.C. or Joe Biden or whatever. Actually trying to throw some punches. I don't know if they land or not, but they're at least trying to throw some punches at Governor Ivey.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it is something that resonates with the common man and woman right now. They're sick of it. They're seeing this as a nationwide move towards let our children go. So I do think it's an issue that he can make an issue, but the only way to do that is to make it an issue. So I think it's an effective ad, and I think it's probably something he had to do. But I do agree with Jeff. I think she's going to ignore it. And because she's not going to want to dance to his tune. So now if she goes and does something, he'll say, I made her do it.
Yep.
Which leads to my question. So let me ask you fellas this. All right. So Kay Ivey has an ad. There were some folks I was with this morning, and they were laughing over it, thought it was hilarious. Kay Ivey sitting at her desk in the governor's office, mocking Joe Biden, saying that when she was growing up, her parents taught her, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. So she sits there and says about Joe Biden, and she goes quiet. And then she says, bless his heart. Now, it's kind of a mocking Biden ad. But here's my point. Is that an effective ad for the campaign? Do you think that wins voters? Or does that just soften her persona and make her out to be Kay Ivey, the woman you just like and want to have in office? What are your thoughts?
Yes.
Dale? Go ahead, Dale.
Yes. I mean, both questions. It softens her persona, and it's a funny little ad. I hate to say it because, I'm kind of like, she's not talking about anything in the state of Alabama. She's not talking about a record. She just wants to talk about how everyone hates Joe Biden. Well, she's right, and she did it in a funny way, and I think it's a rather interesting ad. Like you said, people were laughing and joking about it, talking about it. So I think that's I think it was a good job on execution and on the politics of it.
Jeff?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think for the right move for Kay Ivey, if I'm advising her, there is an anger in the electorate. You've got to respond to it. You got to do something to address it. You can't just do the cookie cutter, I made jobs and ribbon cutting type of ad. I think you needed something that was different. But meanwhile, you don't want to acknowledge any of your opponents or any of their attacks. So this is kind of a good middle ground, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I agree. I saw it and I thought, well, that's cute, but that's because I'm you know, my job is to examine this stuff like
you're
y'all.
You're a nerd. That's why.
Because I'm a political geek. But nonetheless, I saw it and I thought, okay, what is the point to this ad? The whole point, there's no other point. The only point was, I'm like y'all. I think he's silly. That's the whole point of the ad. Yep. Was to be identifiable and to soften the lines, and that's, I guess she's spending a lot of money to get the airtime to just do that when I think she was already rated as a very popular governor. So I guess there's more coming. We'll see. But that's the entire worth of that ad, in my opinion. All right, tell you what, that's two rounds of questions. Copper, go ahead and move us to the break. Let's go ahead and do that now. We'll get that out of the way. We'll come back in a minute with the Grand Council. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the coastal regions, down the nether regions of our state. And Dale Jackson and I both here from WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Back with the Grand Council right after this. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going back right now to the Grand Council with my brothers Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, Baldwin Counties. And up here, up north, it's me and Dale Jackson, both from WVNN. I think the next question goes to Dale. What you got, man?
All right, so this is maybe a little convoluted here, but bear with me just for a second. The school choice bill looks like it's not doing very well. Let's just be honest about it. So there may be some changes, but nobody thinks it's going to pass this go around. Will Ainsworth, however, is throwing his considerable weight behind the measure. Does that help it at all? He is the guy who got more votes than any single human being in the state of Alabama, not named Donald Trump. Does his weight help it this session?
I'll be honest with you. So I've been talking to Ainsworth, and we've got a possible event brewing next week called School Choice Day on Tuesday. Ainsworth has already said that he'll be there to speak to the crowd if we get our all our groups together. That being said, yes, does it help? Yes. I don't know if it's going to pass or not yet, but I do know this. There's not another Del Marsh in the Senate. What may happen, though, is we may see Will Ainsworth become the school choice champion for future years in the absence of Del Marsh being on the floor of the Senate. And does it help? Yes. I think it brings awareness at the very least. He's got an opportunity for a bully pulpit, separate himself from Kay Ivey for future runs, and can say, this is what I would have done had I had the opportunity. So that's my thoughts. Jeff?
I just think there's an attitude among members of both, primarily the House, but some senators that this is too complicated to deal with. Look, we know it's not going to pass this session. Let's not mess around with this. That makes it increasingly difficult to get a serious hearing and a serious even vote on the floor. So Ainsworth's support of it. I kind of wonder whether somebody kind of bullying him around, finding out that he had taken money from the AEA, and it was necessary for him to make such a signal that he is a school choice advocate. And I kind of wonder if that would had something to do with it.
Could be. Dale, your own question. What do you think?
I think it helps. I think it definitely sets the tone for where this conversation is going in the future. I don't know about this session. I think all the reasons Jeff laid out, although I would love for him to have Will Ainsworth on and be like, so who bullied you? But we'll see. We'll see where that goes.
All right, Jeff, your question, man.
Let's look at the Senate race going on. There's polls floating around everywhere. One tweeted out by America's Most Terrible Journalist has Mo in the upper 30s, Katie Britt in the low 20s, Durant in the mid to low 20s. Here's the deal. Here's the question for you. Has Katie Britt plateaued? Is she hit a ceiling? And I guess the second part of this question, and I'll kind of answer part of it. I'm very skeptical of the Mike Durant number. Is it real? Have you ever met Mike Durant supporters in mass anywhere?
I'll take that first, I guess. So, do I think Katie Britt has plateaued? At this moment, I believe she has. And I say that partly because she has been avoiding being in positions where she appears to be more than just Sweet Home Alabama. And you know, she's got a great personality. Her campaign initially was off charging, and I thought she has the best campaign persona. Still to this day, I think she has the best campaign, like retail politician persona on the trail. But now she's starting to fall behind because she won't get out there and mix it up. She's avoiding opportunities to be side by side with the other candidates, and we'll see. But nonetheless, Durant, I had a guy just text me today while I was on the air. Said, hey, I just had lunch with Durant. I'm supporting that candidate, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm seeing a lot of that. Are they gathering in mass? I don't know. But is anybody gathering in mass right now? I don't know. Dale?
I would think that maybe Durant's numbers are a little inflated because he's, you know, he's the outsider, the veteran, the guy who's not a politician, hasn't worked in politics. I think that boosts him up a little bit. He's in kind of like he's a little bit of a novelty in the whole thing. As for Katie Britt, I think that there's been two things that have hurt her. The Clever Growth ads, I think, were pretty effective. The ones that were slamming her, and then the ones that were pumping Mo up, I think they were very effective. That's why we're obviously seeing the other version of that ad out of a Brit-aligned pack where they say, you know, Mo Brooks didn't support Donald Trump hard enough. So I think that's the case. And I think that Republican women don't like this I am woman, hear me roar stuff. And I think, you know, that kind of rubs, I think, Republican women the wrong way because they've been ingrained and taught and campaigned to on the idea that identity politics is trash. And she's kind of coming off that way. And I think that's turning a lot of people off. I'll use one example. LT, a big Katie Britt fan. But, I mean, she bristles every time. I see her bristle every time that commercial comes on the radio station.
Yeah, there it is. Well, tell you what. I was going to go with another Kay Ivey question. Let me ask you this. And we got about a minute and a half. Upon what issue is she vulnerable? You brought up the point, Dale, that we got a new ad coming out from the James campaign about masking kids. We got Dean Young trying to get her taken, which is ridiculous anyway, trying to take her off the ballot, you know, stuff like that. But where is she vulnerable? If you had to pick one, if you had to throw a dart at the board to hit the most vulnerable part she had, what is the issue upon which a campaign against her should capitalize? Jeff, you first.
Well, I don't think it's of her doing, but I think it's gas prices. I think it's gas tax. I think it's where are the results of the Rebuild Alabama Act? Has traffic gotten better in the state, or is it worse? And I would say it's you could look at the statistics. It's worse, but that's where I would hit her. I would go after her on the price of gas. Like I said, it's not of her doing, but she's not helping things by passing a gas tax that doesn't have a sunset. It just keeps on increasing into the future.
Yep. Dale?
Education. Virginia is I think the map here, and I think that's what you're going to see coming. I think it's education on a bunch of different fronts, and I think she's going to be hit on that and vaccine mandates and stuff like that. I think school choice, education in general, masking, that kind of stuff, I think that's where it's coming from. How effective it will be, I don't know, but I think that there's some vulnerabilities there, especially in a Republican primary.
I think so too. When you also consider the fact that she's the de facto head of the state school board, but it's kind of interesting because I differ with both of you. I think that her greatest vulnerability is in her COVID response. I think the fact that she openly declared certain businesses non-essential, shut them down, and some didn't even survive it, is a part of why she could be attacked quite easily. All right, fellas, appreciate you. Good job, Grand Council. Jeff Poor, 106.5 down on the coast. Dale Jackson right here at WVNN. Phil Williams, we are the Grand Council, back again next Thursday. For right now, stay tuned. We'll come back with number 3 on the Triple Dipper, Sweet Home Alabama, I'm calling it. All kinds of news from around the state. We'll be right back.